15.
All right, I'm ready to go.
Water pipe broke.
10 seconds away.
Shower this morning.
You can come shower at my house, Elliot.
I would love to.
5 seconds away.
Cold open.
Cold shower.
David. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available, as always, on Stitcher, iTunes, and NFL.com/Shack.
S-H-E-K, Shack, Shack, Shack.
If my voice sounds urgent, it's because I feel like we had to get into Studio 66. Maximum strength! As quickly as possible, and it comes with an apology today because we didn't do an early week podcast reviewing week 10. I'm trying to think of the word or words that describe my feelings based on the response I got from you on Twitter, on Facebook, and elsewhere. There was anger, and as a result, I feel bad and embarrassed that we didn't deliver an early week podcast to you. On the other hand, I was humbled and pleased to hear that anyone cares that we didn't do a podcast. So it's a mix of emotions. Let's break that down. We have a lot to kibitz about here. In fact, one of the guys sitting here in Studio 66 right now with me, and I were just talking about the water shortage here in Southern California. Is it wrong? Well, I'll ask the question of everybody right here. Anyhow, we didn't do an early week podcast. Let me go back to that point and say we didn't do that because we were busy toiling, me and Black Tie behind the glass, on the next episode of DDFP TV, available for you on NFL Now. Look for it. Black Tie behind the glass. People seem – one of the things I've been hearing, one of the critiques is, how do you find it on NFL Now? Where is the DDFP TV starring, or our special guest this week, Elliot Harrison? How do you find this?
Well, it's going to stream every Thursday moving forward for the rest of the season at 4 p.m.
Is that right?
If we don't get canceled.
Every Thursday?
Every Thursday.
Really?
That is right. Yeah, leading up to the CNF game, you know? And from that point on, it'll also be available in segments on NFL Now. And it's going to be part of the NFL Now Originals when you on the homepage of NFL Now.
So look for, when you go to NFL.com, to NFL Now, look for the tab that says Originals.
NFL Now Originals, correct.
All right, done and done.
Or you catch it live at 4 p.m.
Now, one thing
well,
I do want to
say.
Sorry,
I made a mistake. 4 p.m. Pacific, which is 7 p.m. Eastern.
All right. Week 11 is here. We need to look ahead to all those games, start picking them with our Red Challenge Flag segment. Elliot Harrison, Handsome Hank, will be in here to do those picks for you. Or, in fact, spoiler alert, they're already in here. But real quick, though, Black Tie, the one discussion that you and me were having before the show started, you said, if we're also doing DDFP TV every Thursday, do we also need the podcast? I feel we do. I think we should be doing a podcast or two. Let's take a vote of the room at least here, and we'll start off by saying hello to a man who, as we speak, is quite nervous because we're recording on Thursday afternoon, a few minutes away from kickoff, the Dolphins and the Bills. I really feel like whoever loses this game is pretty much out. That's not that bold a prediction. Here he is, like I say, all the way from London, England, ready to cheer on his Dolphins tonight. Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you, Dave.
Oh, why only okay?
Well, I thought I could smell my own fear.
Yes.
About tonight's game, but actually it turns out Elliot's water pipes are broken and there's a little bit of a stench drifting from where he's sitting. But so I'm not afraid. Turns out I'm not afraid, and I'm looking forward to tonight's Thursday night game, but I am slightly afraid of sitting next to Elliot with the aroma.
Yeah.
Obviously not fear as well. It turns out it's body odor.
Studio 66 maximum strength isn't that big a room, and
right.
Yet that stench hasn't made its way over to my side.
Oh, it will.
Of the desk. Yeah, it's inevitable. Maybe we
He's
need
tried
some...
to mask it with cologne, but it hasn't worked.
We need some Sure maximum strength under his pits, at least, to cover that stench up. All right, let's say
and
hello
so
to
it
him
begins.
Now. Yeah, here he is. ready to off of his power rankings. Obviously, you can find those on NFL.com. His weekly picks are there. Go to NFL Now. He and I actually are going to be doing – he's not just a guest on DDFP TV. He and I are also doing, I think, one of my very favorite things we could possibly do, looking back at old games, the original broadcasts, and sort of, you know, anybody who cares about NFL history or who grew up watching football, and I assume if you're listening to me right now, you probably are a football fan, you will enjoy the look back at games from the 80s, the 70s, the 90s. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop, fella?
What's up, man? Well, you and I are going to be doing it for NFL Now and Then. Today, so that'll
now
be
and then,
cool.
that's what we call
that's
it.
Cool. That's a cool title.
Yeah, I want to
NFL okay. Now and then.
If you're on the app, you've seen a couple of the cool ones we did comparing Andrew Luck to Roger Staubach, and we did a great one with Willie McGinnis reliving the fourth and goal stop in 2003. But I know you were going to bring this up, you know, the fact that I haven't showered. But Dave, I'm taking the one day a week not showering challenge because of our drought in SoCal. There's a day that I work from home most of the day. Is that were you going to ask? Is that bad?
Yeah, I think you're a real patriot to do something like that. And I think so. To be a patriot, what in the 21st century, not washing. That's you know what? In my home, one policy that I have enacted with mixed results is the if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Mm-hmm.
Other people in my home will not abide by this. Who's right in this case? I start with you, handsome.
I agree with you. And
really? You can. You're cool with making your
and,
water.
And I encourage my children not to. My children, I at one point have obviously brainwashed them to flush, mm-hmm. but now I say, you know, and they'll often invite me to come and have a look. How about this one? And I'll be, no, that's fine. If it's very yellow, then I say flush it. But if it's just if they've just passed water, I think, as they say,
come have a look, Daddy.
Yeah, it's like that. They want that a ruling. It's like it's almost like going throwing it back to Dean Blandino at the officiating center. Like
there
they'll
be.
Call me in.
Where would be the nerve center for overseeing baby or children decisions like this? Whoever it is, we have to go to.
There'd be a lot of inconclusive evidence on that one.
I can't overturn. Yeah. Also, the problem is if they have flushed it, I'm not bringing it back.
Yeah, yeah. That is one of the.
I can't overturn that one on the field.
I'm sure it won't surprise you, handsome. No. You're not alone in that. That is something that you don't really mix into the equation when you are about to have a child is that over the you know ensuing 3 to 6 years that you will often be reveling in what comes out of your child you know you're the disgust level goes away, you know, you think, oh, I could never, but you know, it's kind of like, oh yeah, so I got some of his output on my arm there.
Fine.
So be it.
The thing that I find weird, and this has happened to all of us in the room, is that I carry my four, nearly 5 year old son at night before I go to bed. I will lift him out of his bed and stand him in front of and you know he'll go. He's fast asleep the whole way through, but somehow he knows that I've pulled down his little pajamas and I'm asking him to pee. That's happened to all of us. We don't have any recollection that our parents, probably for several years, carried us out of bed and made us make water whilst our eyes were closed. It's an odd feeling.
That's just a few years ago for Drew Statton.
He's a terrific boy, Handsome Hank's little boy, except for the fact that we're going to jump into the picks here, so we have to deal with that. But Handsome Hank has an ongoing issue with his young boy who has a whip on him too. He can throw the football. He aspires to be a football man, I feel, at some point in his life. The only issue is he has not embraced Handsome Hank's football team. He doesn't like the Dolphins. In fact, he says he likes the Jets, and now he also likes another team, right? He likes also the...
He's discovered that his name is Ronald, Ronnie, and he likes teams who have someone called Ronnie on them, which is understandable. He likes the Chargers because Ronnie Brown now plays for them, although I'm not sure he's seen much action. Ronnie Hillman is a new supporter of.
Imagine
the Broncos are now, the Cowboys, but worst of all, the Jets. He, for some reason, likes the Jets.
Yeah, you know what, man? I was just going to say, too, just before we get off this, you know, I think it's past the point of being a political issue anymore. I mean, people are worried genuinely about the water supply and climate change and stuff like that. And I think that anything that anybody can do to conserve water is a really smart thing. And we don't sit there and give out political messages on our Twitter and stuff like that. But again, I think this is just a world thing that we all have to be cognizant of.
If you could see me, I'm doing a slow clap, and then we're all going to stand up and cheer. Elliot, do we need one of those NBC,
Elliot,
the more you
president.
Knows. Do.
Hey, man.
Very nicely
done.
Do
we have any stats on the water shortage and how we can help?
Yeah, no, well, let's say hello. You said earlier, handsome, everyone in this studio is familiar with what it's like to be around a little kid. I don't know if he is, because he himself, like EH just said, still not too far removed from being a little kid. It's Drew Statton from the NFL Media Research Department joining us to he doesn't just share stats, he does it with a bad statitude. How are we, Drew?
I'm doing pretty good. I'd like to know, EH, what's
I see
your,
you've brought your usual energy.
Yeah, what's your stance on evolution?
Yeah.
Do you side with Kurt Schilling, or are you going to
take
the strong stance?
I'm already taking it on the chin 5 minutes in here.
Why?
Why
is that an attack on you?
My stance
attack.
On evolution is I believe in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, now that we got all your all your leanings out of the way.
I'm also
a little disappointed to know. I mean, Hank, were you offered an opportunity to be on NFL Now and Then with Dave and EH earlier this week?
No.
I will say
with
that
proper
handsome
water supply, cream always rises to the top.
I guess maybe we're not wearing enough makeup to be allowed to do that kind of thing.
Cookies.
Handsome Hank though is also pays us a visit here for DDFP TV.
I was indispensable in that segment. I feel like if I hadn't been there, none of that would have been able to happen.
It's too bad we're not shooting. That is a dynamite shirt you're wearing.
Thanks, man.
That's the best.
Everybody's wearing checkers today.
Although they still decided to not go undershirts, even though we scolded them a couple weeks ago.
You're either an undershirt guy or you're not.
Undershirt, long button down. I mean,
I made a transition about only 18 months ago to eschew the T-shirt underneath. Yeah, look at that. Now I go.
You're part of the tribe now.
I guess, but I also, as the weather dips ever so slightly below 70 degrees here in Southern California, that feels like reason enough for me to don one of my old, what do they call them, thermal shirts. I like wearing those white thermal shirts. It keeps me nice and cozy in the winter months. You know,
isn't that kind of a club kid thing to wear the white thermal under the T-shirt?
Club kid thing?
Yeah, well, not a club. Like
I don't even know what defines a club kid.
You know, like the little trendy kid thing is to wear the thermal underneath the T-shirt at all times. With sneakers, even if it's freaking 95.
Well, if I started a trend among the club kids, so be it. Now, speaking of club kids, I guess Justin Bieber would be one of them.
Yes.
He's evil, as we learned this past week, for what he did to the Steelers. And his powers are so great, I'm sad to report, that it even felled Football Baby. And at the time of this recording, is Football Baby going to stand up? If you haven't seen Football Baby yet, I encourage you, Nate Demand, you go on to the Google, go on NFL.com. You will track down Football Baby and see his remarkable run. It came to an end because Justin Bieber cursed the Steelers, who Football Baby picked. Will Football Baby make Week 11 picks? At the time of this recording, as I was saying, I just don't know. All right, let's put that bit of ugliness behind us, and we'll see if Football Baby's up to it. But right now, let's do it, fellas. Let's get in to the Red Challenge Flag Pick segment. Red Challenge Flag Picks. Is this the best collection of games that we've had this season?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Too strong a statement. I mean, yes.
I know. Nobody was very excited.
Way to
by
take
that.
The hard
I'll
line
do
there,
it again.
Fellas.
Is this a great collection of games upcoming?
Yeah. I preferred last week.
They're but great games.
There's some great
Patriots
games,
and
right.
Colts is dandy. Eagles with Sanchez against Aaron Rodgers, red hot. By the way,
blowout.
I pointed this out. I know the world is already aware of it, but it is really remarkable, and I don't know exactly what to make of it. Obviously, we saw Eli Manning win a Super Bowl and Joe Flacco in the Super Bowl and Russell Wilson, who has not reached his prime yet. And so it's clear, and we've talked about it, that the notion that you need to have a top six or top eight quarterback in order to win a Super Bowl is jive, but we're really pushing the borders of what is possible here in 2014 with the collection of guys that are under center on first place teams right now. You have, like, you know, I mean, the Alex Smith story as he's coming on now with that team. But, I mean, look at the guys. Mark Sanchez is overseeing a first-place team this week. You have Brian Hoyer, of course, doing that. You have, in the meantime, you have guys like Jay Cutler and RG3 and Joe Flacco are in last place. That's a little unfair to Flacco, given that they're, you know, they happen to be in a really rugged division right now. But facts are facts. Anyway, you look around, really, what do you make of this, EH, that there are this many teams getting by or, in fact, thriving? And of course, I left out the Arizona Cardinals there, and now they have Drew Stanton. That's where your name came from, Drew Stanton. Did you ever realize that the name Drew Stanton comes from Drew Stanton? Did you ever figure that out?
Well, I did put that together when we were also playing around with Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad Drew Stanton.
I was able to put those together.
Yeah, especially if he goes to the Super Bowl, like people are saying. What do you think about all this, EH?
You know, I think that the competition is so razor thin now that you don't have to have a great quarterback to win, which would almost seem
counterintuitive.
Exactly. That was the word I was looking for. Thank you. But, you know, you used Alex Smith as an example. I did some research on Alex Smith versus Russell Wilson and found that against the blitz, Alex Smith has over 100 passer rating, and on third down, he's seventh in the league. Well, to me, that's really what you need from your quarterback. When is he good under pressure? And by pressure, I don't mean like literally a guy hanging on him, but when he knows that he's going to have pressure up the middle or blitz pressure and it's third down. And it's interesting that Russell Wilson was 24th in both categories in the league. And to me, I think it's more about what quarterbacks do situationally than what they're doing overall as a whole. I think we're going to find more and more that all this passing and stuff does not lead to winning at all. I think there was a time when the more productive quarterbacks were, the better their teams did. I think that was happening in the mid-2000s. I think that is no more. And I think the Seahawks, the way they won last year and the way Bill Parcells won his two Super Bowls with the Giants, are going to become the blueprint for winning going forward.
That's another thing that we've talked about quite a bit. Yeah, Tom Brady is in the mix and Peyton's in the mix and those guys perennially. But, again, look at the teams that have been playing in those Super Bowls and winning them. The Giants were a run-first team when they beat the Patriots. The Niners during this legendary run that they've been on that, by the way, spoiler alert, I don't think they're going to the playoffs this year, and I don't think the Seahawks are going to the playoffs either. You'll find out more about that if you go to watch the DDFP TV on NFL Now. But anyway, point is, and the Ravens won the Super Bowl running the ball. The Seahawks were a run-first team last year. If you can pound the ball, that's what counts in January. Obviously, it's hard to argue with that. Handsome, do you buy that the Cardinals are still in this thing? Do they still win the division? Do they have any shot come January with Drew Stanton under center?
I think they have to adapt their offense to fit Drew Stanton. I think it's lucky that it's happened to them to some extent, A, after he's played a couple games in place of Carson Palmer already this season, so he's had that.
That's a big difference for us that we haven't written the Cardinals off. If we didn't see Drew Stanton, it's so hard to say Stanton instead of Stanton.
Let's stick with Stanton.
If we hadn't seen him earlier in the year, I bet you we would all be, well, that's it for the Cardinals. They're done. But
exactly. But then, you know, I think you're right in saying that, yes, a rugged running game is what helps, but also that a tough defense, and they have those two things, or they have at least the potential to do those two things. I think it probably makes you think where you could easily predict this Cardinals would be in at least the NFC Championship game. I think it makes you think when it comes to a January game on a Saturday or a Sunday, will he have the nous, the moxie, to get through that game. Will he have the moxie to get against another, you know, division winning playoff type team?
I have a bit of trivia for you, by the way, before we get into these games, because if I ask you when we get into one of the games, it'll give it away. So Drew Stanton and I were doing this kind
Drew Stanton or Drew Stanton?
Drew Stanton.
Okay, just to be clear.
Yes, we're doing some research. And we wanted to figure out who was the most disruptive defensive player in the NFL. We did minimum 200 snaps, so this had to be more than just a part-time guy.
Disruptive in what sense?
Well, that's what we're going to define it. Interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, sacks, quarterback knockdowns, and tackles for a loss. anything that was a negative play for the offense. Tackles for loss, forced fumbles, fumbles recoveries, interceptions, quarterback sacks, and quarterback
knockdown.
Well, then
by the nature of the positions that would dictate that in my book. I mean, you would rule out a nose tackle because they're not going to have stats
true.
In any other area.
True.
Other than
it's just
they
one measure.
They get a pick from time to time. They get sacks.
I suppose. I would say it's either a safety or an OLB. First of all, I'd say it's an OLB or a safety, and I will say it's Earl Thomas.
Okay. So did you bring the
spreadsheet?
Okay. So I want to ask you that. I'm going to give you a hint, too, in the trivia because we wanted to.
So obviously I'm wrong. Yep. I gave you my guess already.
Well, I'm going to tell you that if you added up aggregately who had the most impactful plays, it's J.J. Watt because you have knockdowns, sacks, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if you did it per snap, per his time on the field, and we did minimum 200 plays. You had to play in at least 200 plays. The most impactful defensive...
Can I take a guess?
He already told you. The most impactful defensive player...
Julius Peppers.
...is in the division that you watch the most. It's in the AFC North. Can you guess who the most impactful defensive player per snap in the NFL is?
Well, now it's embarrassing.
Hard. I wouldn't get it.
Right.
I mean, Drew, would you get it?
You definitely wouldn't get it.
You wouldn't get it. Great player, or very good player, but he's just not a guy that you think of, and then you're like, oh, yeah, he's pretty good.
All right, who is it? Lay it on me.
Elvis Dumervil.
Ah.
Most he's had, of those categories that Elliot laid out, 38.5 of his 357 plays, so over 10% of his plays have been
either forced fumble,
that deserves the asterisk because he's gotten to play twice against Marcus Gilbert and humiliate him twice. I think he made
that's a good point.
I think he made 273 plays
Gilbert
against Corliss.
Yeah.
And
the right tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who is wildly overpaid.
And your Pittsburgh Steeler, James Harrison, number two on that list.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's a small sample.
But he's been brilliant. The last thing that was really interesting on this was that Henry Melton, the Cowboys free agent signee, ranked one spot ahead of DeMarcus Ware.
And Marcel Darius is in that top.
And Marcel Darius is there, too.
But as we jump into the picks here, it's funny, though, another recurring point on DDFP is that we get very swept up, or at least I think that I know I try to avoid this, but if you watch NFL media or you listen to the fans about things, everybody reacts crazily to whatever just happened and nothing before it matters. And the previous week defines everything. And if you pick a team who lost the preceding week, then you're insane. You're picking that team. How about Andy Dalton? Now we're talking about these quarterbacks and whether or not they can win. It's funny that it's like, oh, I think Drew Stanton could make a run here. Yeah. I think, who knows? I think Mark Sanchez can keep the Eagles in this mix. And yet the Bengals are finished because of Andy Dalton. True or false, Handsome?
I don't believe the Bengals are finished because of Andy Dalton. I mean, I think that is a huge overreaction.
How say you, EA?
I completely agree with you on that. And you made that point. You made it a couple times this year about the Chiefs, that everyone buried them week one. Like, literally, there was no way they were going to do anything this year and look at them.
It really is remarkable what they're doing, given their defensive losses to start the season, the fact that they started the season without any pass catchers. Once again, Dwayne
Nobody
Bogue.
Could figure out why they let Brandon Flowers go, all that stuff.
I mean, Kelsey's has really emerged, and I keep saying he is Rob Gronkowski in a uniform. He even wears the wrist. He tapes his wrists the same, wears the gloves the same, wears the same number and everything else. All right, let's get into it then, fellas. The Red Challenge Flag segment, and we're going to start off with Andy Dalton's team. A big one for them and the team that they will face in the Superdome, the New Orleans Saints. I'm going to start with you on this one, Handsome.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I'm going to give this one to the Saints.
All right, EH.
I'm going to have to pocket that challenge flag. I agree with that. I don't see the Saints losing two in a row at home. If I am, I'm taking the weak way out here. I'm just going home field advantage on this, but this is a really strong home field advantage.
I agree with that. I think the Saints are going to win the game. The thing to look out for, though, is that you follow the template that the 49ers laid out last week, early in the game especially. Jeremy Hill, it would be nice, obviously. I know that the Bengals would prefer to have Gio Bernard ready to go for this game, but the fact that it's going to be Jeremy Hill, and Some guys rise. They play better, for what it's worth, when they're playing in front of the home crowd, you know, their family and friends. Jeremy Hill's an LSU kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see if some guys crumble under that pressure. They have, hey, you know, Jeremy Hill has 100 friends and family in the stands, and then they fumble three times, you know. But if he is extra motivated, and by the way, more practically, they have a good offensive line. They're built to play defense and pound the ball. I could see them going in there and winning. I'm taking the Saints. But
you say they're built to do it. And you'd think that the right recipe for beating the Saints would be keep the ball away, pound the ball with a guy like Jeremy Hill, and then play strong defense. But we haven't. That Bengals defense is now one of those ones that has the legacy of going, yeah, strong defense. But actually, in reality, and we saw it on Thursday night last week, they don't have a strong defense, and particularly get vulnerable against the pass, which Drew Brees is going to be doing all day with, you know, that huge arsenal of weapons
totally,
he has.
Totally agree. And to your point, Dave, you know, the way the 49ers hit him is they hit him with Frank Gore, and then boom, they bring Carlos Hyde in. Mm-hmm. Gio Bernard has not been healthy.
He's not playing.
So now you're just looking at Jeremy Hill doing it. And, I'm just not so sure that they're going to be able to
pound. Well, and
like
then
that.
It goes back to the Andy Dalton thing. They do still happen to have A.J. Green, who's, if he's 100%, which I don't know that he is, but if he's anything close to that, you'd like to think that he could make some plays along with all those other nice pass catchers that they have.
Do you get the impression that Andy Dalton, I mean, and I don't want to overreact about him, but he's probably like a butt fumble type performance away from being swept out of Cincinnati in the same way that Sanchez people were like, I can tolerate this guy, yeah, he makes mistakes, whatever, and then suddenly there was like the coin flipped or the whatever happened, and suddenly the momentum went the other way, and it was let's get this guy out of here.
I mean,
he needs one signature terrible performance.
It's a perfect the analogy is perfect in that, like the Jets, the Bengals have made the playoffs the last few years, just like when Mark Sanchez in his first couple of years. But there is a sense of lower expectations. You want these things to happen if you're the Jets or Bengals. But I wonder how many divisions or how many playoff appearances you can have and not get to the Super Bowl before the fan base. You know, if it's – I'll turn it to the Pittsburgh Steelers. If they had a quarterback that was just, having those bum performances like Andy Dalton's had out there. And I know that Ben Roethlisberger didn't have his best day throwing the ball against the Jets, but it's not on that level of putridity, if that's a word, I don't know. But, you know, I think that Mark Sanchez and Andy Dalton can survive in those towns a little bit longer than they could in other so-called football city or where there's an expectation of winning more. But I agree with you. I said before the season, I said over and over again, A.J. McCarron is going to start a game, not due to Andy Dalton, not due to a Dalton injury. And that's still afloat. If Dalton stinks it up this week, I don't know how you could run him back out there.
Right. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. It's tough when you've got a quarterback like that. I was talking with a fellow Dolphins fan yesterday and, you know, kind of getting to the point where Ryan Tannehill is almost the most frustrating quarterback or one of those guys because I said it when we talked in free agency period this year and you were adamant that the Bengals should look at replacing Dalton. Mm-hmm. My point was, you have to know that you're going to get someone that's better than the guy that you've got. Otherwise, it's a foolish thing to do. And I don't know about this free agency class, and I don't know very much about this draft class. But there's nothing more frustrating than having a guy you know is never going to be a top 10 quarterback, but is good enough not to be, you know, Mark Sanchez in New York type embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Because then you have to ask yourself the question, are we absolutely positive that we can get a guy better?
Well, you know, I think the answer to that is the one that exactly when we were having this conversation in the summer, Mike Vick. Now you see, yes, Mike Vick. You think the Bengals wouldn't be better with Mike Vick right now?
No.
You don't believe that overall, assuming good health for him.
I think the games that
– they wouldn't be 5-3-1? They wouldn't be as good as 5-3-1 if Mike Vick were their quarterback?
No, because I think the games – I think Mike Vick will make a mistake in some of the games that Andy Dalton didn't make a mistake.
How say you, EH?
I at this point, I would rather have Andy Dalton. I feel like there's a lot more upside there. Michael Vick is what Michael Vick is.
I'm not talking about 2015. Yeah. I'm talking about for 2014, this Bengals team would be superior.
Remember when we did this little thing on Thursday Night Football, I said, hey, I could name 50 quarterbacks in NFL history better than Michael Vick right now. And you said, okay, do it. And so I wrote him down on a note card. So I think my opinion on Michael Vick is pretty...
I don't think Michael Vick is one of the top 50 QBs ever. Well, do I or do I not? I don't know about that, but I do think he's better than Andy Dalton. Drew Staton. break this tie, even though it's not a tie. It's 2-1.
Well, I'm not going to throw stats, so just deal with it, Hank. But what I think is interesting is how about Hugh Jackson and all this? That really all he had to do was walk into the season and just stay the course and get this team to the playoffs, and he was the next, you know, hot
right.
coordinator coach.
I've been tweeting that. Hugh Day. I keep saying that. This guy was destined to be an NFL head coach in 2015 because he was going to turn this offense around. He's not exactly
all right. In fairness, they lost Marvin Jones. They lost Tyler Eifert. They lost a couple of their guys that they were relying on.
Let me pull up. The rosters of 31 other teams and see if they've had any.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, you know, that's your number one tight end because Jermaine Gresham is what he is at this point. And Jones was your number two, not Sanu. So,
There's four guys turning it over at a higher clip than Andy Dalton this year. It's Blake Bortles, Kirk Cousins, Geno Smith, and Nick Foles.
See, that's good company.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
All right, let's get to the next game here. And I'm going to float this one out here. I just want to see if either Handsome or EH wants to join me in this bold prediction here. I say that Sean Hill and the St. Louis Rams are going to beat the Broncos this weekend. Anybody want to jump in there with me?
You know, that's a funny one, Dave. This morning I went onto NFL.com/pick'em to make my picks. Well, I actually made them on Tuesday. And I've discovered that I had picked the Rams. And I had very clearly, you know, gone and had that almost the same thought, but when I made it, Austin Davis was the quarterback. This morning, I switched it back because of
really,
Sean.
That's funny. Yeah. I just think that the Rams pass rush looks like what you thought the Rams pass rush was going to look like, and the Broncos are beaten up. They almost signed Richie Incognito this week.
I'm with you, but the problem that I see is that you're still going to have to score a number of points. Let's call it 25. To beat the Broncos, even if your defense does everything right, the Broncos are probably going to score more than 25 points. I don't think the Rams offense can do that.
All right, next game, I'll stick my neck out with the Rams there. Next game, this is a juicy one, fellas. EH, I'm going to start with you, the defending champions at the Chiefs.
You know, fellas, I really wanted to pick Seattle, but I'm not. I'm going to go with Kansas City.
Why did you want to pick Seattle?
Because I still think Seattle's an excellent team. I really do. I think all the way around, top to bottom, they're just not sexy at the spots that people want them to be sexy at sometimes. But I just like Kansas City to win this game. And it's going to be interesting for Russell
Wilson.
That's
an ironic thing you just said, since Black Tie Behind the Glass knows one thing that is sexy about those Seahawks.
Hey, I'm Russell Wilson, and I throw a sexy deep ball.
That's why Black Tie loves the sexy deep ball.
Hasn't been that great last few weeks, though.
Wonder what happened there. Wait, yeah. Doug Baldwin isn't a sufficient number one wide receiver? No.
His deep ball, I swear, he throws a deep ball just like Jeff Blake. I say it all the time. I know Jeff Blake may have been a lesser quarterback, but they throw the exact same deep
ball.
Have
you got the Jeff Blake sexy deep ball?
I do not.
Queued up.
You know who else did? We've talked about him before. Who else threw one of the all-time great deep balls? Jay Schrader.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Jay Schrader, and I got a sexy deep ball.
Are you keeping your challenge flag in your pocket?
Well, let me tell you something, Elliot. You pick the Chiefs, and the Chiefs wear red.
Mm-hmm.
And my red challenge flag is staying in my pocket.
I
also picked the Chiefs.
I picked the Chiefs, too. What's going on here? That we're picking.
We all agree on the Chiefs.
If I would have told you on September 20th-ish that, we're all taking the Chiefs over the Seahawks. Yeah, everybody's in lockstep on that one. Drew Statton. Got any insight for us on this one?
Well, here's a couple things going for the Seahawks. Is no one throws a higher percentage of the passes shorter than 5 yards downfield than the Chiefs. They're throwing 57% of their passes short, and the Seahawks are one of the
best. That's not – so that's playing – that's going – that's staying away from their area of strength.
But the Seahawks are one of the best at limiting yards after the catch. They're in the top 10 there. And while they've allowed 100 yards rushing in three of their four road games, they've allowed under 4 yards per rush in all four of those. So – you know, most of those yards that, you know, people are going to see, we'll just run on them, have come, you know, after teams have got the lead. And I just don't, you know, is Kansas City really going to come out to a hot start and build a big lead on the Seahawks?
Well, I mean, I buy that you can run on them. Brandon Mebane is a massive loss for that team. The idea that they're we get caught up in the idea the Seahawks have a great defense. Yeah, if you start taking pieces away from that defense, just the guys that put just by putting the uniform on, you aren't suddenly imbued with the talent of the guys you're replacing. I mean, Brandon Mebane's out. He's their run stuffer. Jamaal Charles should be able to run on that team, ergo. All right, next game, I'm going to take the Chiefs, like I say. This one, intriguing, of course. I think it's pretty easy to pick. Eagles with Mark Sanchez, Aaron Rodgers of the Packers, EHLCU.
I'm going with Green Bay at home, but I don't think that this game is a blowout.
I think it's 34-21, to be specific.
That's a good score.
Handsome.
I am also picking the Packers. You may have heard me say it would be a blowout earlier. The only thing that gives me pause here is the Packers have consistently over the last 2 years been a team that flatters to deceive occasionally.
Oh.
Puts up an amazing performance like they did last Sunday night, and then will come out and inexplicably kind of just look stinky, almost as stinky as Elliot. The following
using
week.
All big words and then the stinky.
Well, I wanted to get a stinky like jab in on Elliot.
Truth is, I really don't smell.
All right, well,
all right,
listen,
well,
handsome's
the judge of
that.
Our listeners will be the judge of that.
That's smelling to deceive.
Can you smell that?
That's what I call. Lay it on us there, Drew.
I wish
Staten,
we
anything?
Could see you.
I mean, obviously, for the Eagles to be successful, Sanchez is going to have to, you know, maintain what he did last week, but he was only hit once last week, and the Packers have had 33 QB hits in their last five games and their top five in takeaways, so he's not going to have that same clean pocket that he had going up against Carolina.
You know, like a lot of teams that make deep playoff runs in the 21st century, like you just said there, Drew Staten, they're not a shutdown defense in Green Bay, but they're taking the ball away, making plays on both sides is what matters. You need playmakers. They have an abundance of that defensively. I wonder what they'll do with Clay Matthews. I mean, that was one of the most individually dynamic performances you could see.
He's playing against his brother this week, Casey Matthews.
We thought Whedon gave us a better shot of winning.
All right, a couple more real quick here. Like I say, a bevy of dandy games. I don't know why you guys aren't as excited as I am. Let's do this one. The Lions at the Cardinals. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I have predicted that the Lions will go on the road and beat the Cardinals.
Very interesting. I mean, listen, this is you talk about a coin flip of a game.
You know what? I eat leafy greens, and I'm going to have to pull out my red challenge flag out of my pocket.
Yes. Yes.
But
finally.
Leafy greens.
I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't either. But I can smell the leafy greens that you've been eating.
Yes. I bet you can. Coming through my pores.
Yeah.
Late? What's the reason? Why don't you tell us why? Stinky.
You know, Drew Staten and I were going over this the other day, right? And we were trying to figure out why are the Cardinals.
When do you have these meetings?
These clandestine meetings?
Why don't I get it? I don't need them. I don't need the stats of Staten to do it. I just use my gut.
Well,
I used
my gut, but one of the things that the Cardinals are doing so well is they're not turning the ball over and they're forcing turnovers. And the crazy stat that I found was that in the fourth quarter this year, the Cardinals are plus 11 in turnovers. That is an amazing turnover differential for one quarter of play. They're making the plays when they have to make them, and they're at home. If they were in Detroit, I would take the Lions. By the way, guys, Lions fans have been all over me for not ranking them higher. The Lions have won by 4-1-1. I mean, when have you seen Detroit go out and control a game? They haven't controlled a game since week one in that doubleheader, that Monday night doubleheader against the Giants.
By the way, you should go. I keep promoting it because I'm a shill. And the NFL Now, DDFP TV, Elliot Harrison, Handsome Hank, join us on that one. Sorry, Drew. You'll get a call the next time.
Thanks.
Or at some point
or
soon.
Or not.
I do lay out the NFC seeds for you and justify team by team who's
Does
making
Detroit
it.
Does Detroit win the North?
Don't spoil it, man.
Just one division winner? No, okay. No,
I will tell you this. The Arizona Cardinals will defeat the Detroit Lions this week, and I'll leave it at that. Well, I'll leave it at this. 22-17 is your final score in that one. The Lions continue, even with Calvin Johnson out there.
They're
not
a good team, but
they're not an offensive juggernaut, which they should be.
If you watched the first four series of them against the Dolphins last week and you saw what the Lions defensive line were able to do against the Dolphins offensive line that at that point still had Brandon Albert in there, I don't think that Drew Stanton or Drew Staten will be able to stand in the pocket. And, you know, given that he is not the one thing that the knock on him is that he hasn't been accurate. I think he's going to have a hard time and he'll turn the ball over
but he's
at least
mobile.
Two or three times.
But
he may be mobile. Things break down too quick to be able to do anything.
Could be, but they're not the concern for me. The concern for me is Matt Stafford. I mean, I think he's really the X factor, maybe for the 2014 season, legitimately, more than anybody in the league. Because
their
defense is outstanding. They got Calvin Johnson back. I think Golden Tate, is safe to say, has exceeded everyone, including his own family's expectations. He's got 66 catches this year.
That's another reason why I keep knocking down the Seahawks. Golden Tate, Percy Harvin, is that it's also Golden Tate.
Yes, but they cannot run the ball. They cannot run the ball. I know Miami's front seven is good, but they haven't been able to run the ball against weak teams. Maybe Drew Statton can support me on this. But
speaking of Percy Harvin's style X factors, they need Reggie Bush to be healthy.
But he's not going to be healthy.
Hey, year nine, fellas, for Reggie Bush, just FYI. Yeah. You know.
All right, Drew Statton, you got anything for us here?
Well, I mean, as far as Stanton being a mobile quarterback, Ryan Tannehill is also a mobile quarterback, and they blanked him. But I think you can just turn this – you can watch some other games, turn this one on in the fourth quarter because, like EH said, Cardinals have a plus turnover differential. They're outscoring their opponents by 57 points in the fourth quarter, and the Lions keep winning all these games during this win streak in the fourth quarter. So, you know, I think grab some chips, maybe some what were the crisps that you brought us? Maybe try and find some ranch raccoon.
Those were delicious.
You know, snack on some of those, turn it on in the fourth quarter.
And get some Snyder's of Hanover pretzels, too, though.
Get some of those.
Big, thick ones.
And then maybe you can watch Golden Tate catch a game-winning touchdown, who was, by the way, drafted by the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2007.
EH has to run, so we'll wrap it up with this one. But I will say Detroit at Arizona, perhaps the uniform matchup of the week.
Hey,
it's a nice
it's a good one. Check out our Now and Then. Be good stuff.
All right, it will. Quickly, EH, before you run out the door, Patriots, Colts, how say you?
I'm going Patriots on the road in Indianapolis.
Okay, interesting. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I am once again in lockstep with my odorful colleague.
Stinky Harrison.
Stinky Harrison, and I agree again. I say the Patriots are going to win on the road in Indianapolis. Too.
You're both wrong. The Colts are going to win, and I say 31-27 just because the Colts and Patriots play close games, and I feel like Sunday night has an exciting game lined up here just based on the law of averages. Then again, I could just see the Colts whipping them. I could see the Colts beating them by, you know, a couple of touchdowns.
But you couldn't
see
the Patriots whipping the Colts.
No. I feel like Rob Gronkowski will have to be a major factor and likely will be.
What makes you think he wouldn't be?
I mean, I think even if he has 8 catches and 120 yards and a touchdown or two, I still think the Colts are just – if it gets into shootout style, I think the Colts will run past them.
Well, if Gronk does that, he'll pass Ben Coates for the most touchdowns by a Patriots tight end in franchise history. And he's
Ben Coates is still holding on to that record.
He's
over
clinging Gronk. On. He has, they both currently have 50. But
he's riding his Coates tail right
ooh.
Now.
Oh. But that stench is out of here, Grant really
me to think.
Helping Handsome think here, yeah.
Luck has 7 picks in his 2 games against the Patriots. So
well, he has a ton of picks against anybody he plays. That's his
MO.
Hey, okay. Drew, what's Belichick's record coming off of byes?
104.
What? All right, see? I don't go on that kind of nonsense.
I'd have thought that would be a good stat to be able to bring to something like a podcast.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Do you have anything to say back there, bad stat?
No, I mean, apparently everything that I prepared, you know, is pretty meaningless. So I'll just let Hank do my research for me.
You don't want to mess with somebody who's in a chopper gang like Drew Statton there, Handsome Hank. Mind your P's and Q's,
fellas. I'm sorry.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Just real quick, who do you think is going to win D.C. and Tampa Bay? Should I start RG3? I have my other QB options. Here are my QB options. What do you think? And drop me a line, hashtag DDFP. But I asked the room and Black Tie Behind the Glass as well. RG3 against Tampa. Jay Cutler against – who do the Bears have again?
The Vikings.
The Vikes. Or Andy Dalton in New Orleans.
That is an awful trio.
I know it's an awful
options.
Trio. I didn't ask if it's a good collection. I'd ask who should I start.
That's called what's on the waiver wire.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what?
If hey, Mark Dave, Sanchez is available, I might pick him up.
I like RG3 in this matchup.
I don't.
I think maybe. He's going to have a good game.
Dave, what – I mean, you mentioned Cutler and the Bears-Vikings game. I'm just intrigued by what you think is going to happen in that one because that was a tough one for me to pick. It's one of those ones that you're like, I'm going to give the Bears one more shot, but actually I'm not. I picked the Vikings.
Well, I'd love to – see if Drew Staton could cook up some numbers on this. Don't teams, this is completely anecdotal, but doesn't it, it feels to me like when a team gets humiliated on television, an NFL team in this day and age, let's say over the last year or two, when a team just gets, you know, housed and mm-hmm. you know, people are calling for the jobs of the coaches and for the quarterback and everything else, that team tends to bounce back and deliver a respectable performance. So it shall be for the Bears.
All right.
At home. No?
I mean, I can't whip that up
like
right
that's
now.
True?
I can bring that back next week.
I'm also tempted to take the Panthers at home against the Falcons for the same reason, except the Falcons are only a game out of first place in that atrocious division.
And they can be only the second team with a 5-game losing streak in a season to make the playoffs.
Let me give you one more bold prediction here. Houston Texans with Ryan Mallett at QB will go into Cleveland and win that game. It's a little bit too. All of a sudden, the Browns are so good that they can't get upset at home by a halfway decent team with what I assume will be a healthy pass rush with Clowney and Watt. And I like that whip on Mallett. I think this points to what people will be saying on Sunday night. Who saw this one coming? Dave Damashek, that's who. Real quick, anybody got a pick on Mississippi State at Bama?
Oh, we're not going to pick Michigan's remaining games?
No, we're
not. Okay.
Bama is going to whip them.
Yeah.
I don't think it, right?
Yeah, Bama.
They're going to take it to them. All right. Is that it, Black Tie? You want to wrap it up here?
That is it. I would ask for, you know, EPO predictions, but that's
I don't know what that means.
No one knows what that is.
Oh,
I do.
Come on, guys.
I do have a stat of the week.
2014.
I need to get in. Is that okay?
It's no longer cool to act like you don't know soccer anymore.
I didn't say I don't. I can't say anything intelligible about the EPL. I don't know anybody in it except Wayne Rooney. He's in it, right?
You can name five players. Go right now. Name five players in English soccer. Yeah, you can.
I could not name five guys in the EPL. Five guys?
Hank, how about you?
Maybe three.
Oh.
I legitimately, I'm not proud to say this, I couldn't name five guys in major soccer leagues right now.
I do know that last weekend when the Cowboys and Jags played in London, there's a great photo of Jerry Jones meeting Jose Mourinho, the Chelsea manager.
I think it's Josie.
Can I tell you something? I did watch the 30 for 30 on Diego Maradona. Did you see that, Black Tie?
I haven't seen that yet, no.
You must find this, if only for, and just hear my words, people, you must find this documentary. It's terrific, as all those 30 for 30s are. But they have the Argentinian play-by-play guy calling the action. They have the clips of him in 1986, and his calls are just off the charts.
Right.
As he's running down the field, he hasn't even scored the goal yet. He is a god. Look at him go. We are lucky to watch him. And then he scores the goal. He's like, I am crying right now watching this. You know, it's if you don't like Homer announcers, then don't.
What was his analysis of when Diego Maradona used his hand to score a goal against England?
That's how you know Hank's English.
The
there
hand
go.
Of God.
That bothered you. Did that turn you off? If that didn't happen.
I remember it happening.
How about an NFL?
Hank.
A soccer NFL. If the hand of God hadn't happened, would Handsome be in the UK right now walking around
possible.
In Arsenal gear or whatever?
Possible.
Yeah. Is that your team, Arsenal?
No.
Man U?
No.
Tottenham?
Liverpool?
No.
What is it?
West Ham.
Oh, you're a West Ham guy. Yikes.
My brother's a big Chelsea guy, and I won't be able to look him in the eye on Thanksgiving if I don't drop some names. So,
Ham.
Is Drogba still on the team?
He is. He came back.
And Czech's the backup goalie. They're starting a new goalie now.
I like you choosing
they still have Oscar.
Your favorite kind
That's
of meat.
Enough.
Well, ham is delicious.
Ham
so
is delicious.
Reason enough
West
to choose.
Ham sounds good.
I don't care. East, west, south. I don't care.
They
ham's always delicious.
Ugly get-ups, though, West Ham does. It's like North Carolina blue and purple. It's really strange.
Oh, sounds like Charlotte Hornets is what you just described there. All right. Well, listen. I hope everybody enjoys the weekend. No matter how down you are, just remember, at least you're not on the Los Angeles Lakers, right? Right,
yeah.
Black Tie? What an embarrassment that is. All right, listen. Handsome Hank, by the time most people are listening, the fate of your Dolphins over the course of 2014 will be known, because whoever loses this game is probably out of things. Best wishes to you.
Thank you.
Drew Staton, thanks for paying us a visit here. And thanks for shelving, for the most part, the bad attitude. The bad statitude,
no problem.
Say.
And let me just get one thing in for Ian. He hit me up on Twitter about which week is the best to have a bye week. And
later is always better.
that's what you'd think. But statistically, the combined record of teams that have a week four bye week since 2000 in the last five seasons since 2009, the best week four.
That's flimsy.
And I'm throwing out week 12 because there's only been four and they were all last year.
But wait,
year.
What? They have a better record? That's because they play more games, aren't
they? No. It's a combined record of the season for a team that has a bye week that week. Week four is the best, but then back
to
you.
I don't buy any
week,
of that.
Week 11, second best. Week 10, third best.
I don't even know what to make of that. That's a nonsense stat.
Come on, player.
Yes, thank you. All right, well, listen. I'll leave you with this. Yeah, go watch the DDFP TV, right? Black Tie. Black
That's
Tie
right.
worked hard
p.m.
on it.
7 p.m. Eastern, Thursdays, and it's also going to be available in NFL Now.
All right, so listen. Enjoy that. Enjoy week 11. We'll be back after it's finished to look back upon it and look ahead to week 12. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.